welcome to this evening's City Council meeting for May 8th, 2012. At this time, I will call the meeting to order. I'd like to ask if Petey would take a roll call, please.
Councilperson Derry.
Here.
Cutterback.
Here.
Williams.
Here.
Camp.
Present.
Davis.
Present.
Gamble.
Here.
Hanford.
Here.
Thank you. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
For this portion of our meeting tonight, I'm going to switch and allow for comments to take place after our announcement presentation, because we have a new member of the course who's a little excited. So we're going to go and move forward to the swearing-in ceremonies. First of all, for K-9 Officer Jett.
Elvis has left the building.
You almost get running in without the dog.
And for the ceremony here tonight as well, we have distinguished guest, Honorable Judge Klopp. And will you be swearing in K-9 Officer Jett?
I'm not sure.
Well?
Whatever the chief wants to do, it's his program.
I know he was out there.
He was here.
Here you go.
A bullet. Here he is.
Okay. First of all, as most of you can see and get an idea why he was named Jett, but on April 4th, Kenan Jett, a six-year-old black lab, joined the department and was placed with Officer Tolbert. Kenan Jett was previously employed through the Clickat County Sheriff's Office. Officer Tolbert and Kenan Jett had recently attended training together where he began proving to be a great narcotics detection dog. And a little story, I think it's true, but the previous handler in Clickat County came into some money, I believe, through the lottery or something like that, and he sang the old Johnny Paycheck job, or song, Take This Job and Shove It. And so we were so lucky to get this dog. It was actually given to us. And according to the person that originally trained the dog, this is one of the best dogs that they've ever trained. I would normally swear him in, but I don't think he can raise his right hand and bark after me. So, anyway, welcome aboard, Jeff. Thank you. Thank you.
Chief, we'll thank you for that. And we'll move right along now to the swearing-in ceremony for Deputy Chief Gennaro. Deputy Chief.
I'll try to behave better than the last time. So. It is my great pleasure to introduce our new Deputy Chief, Ken Gennaro. He started his law enforcement career in 1980 and joined the Monroe Police Department as Deputy Chief in March 2012. Prior to joining the Monroe Police Department, he spent 4 years as a city police officer and then the rest of his career as a member of the Washington State Patrol.
His impressive resume includes being a narcotics task force commander, trooper, sergeant, lieutenant, and captain. His latest assignment before joining this agency was as a district commander in King County, the largest manpower district the state patrol has. During the past 2 months, he has proven to be a great addition to our police department, and we are looking forward to the valuable qualities that he continues to bring to this agency. And now, they told me not to ad-lib, but I will a little bit here. I've known Ken for about 30 of those 30 years. And what I was looking for in a deputy chief was a good fit. And I can guarantee you that Ken is an excellent fit with this police department. A lot of experience in many different facets of law enforcement. And I know he's do a great job. Go ahead and swear him if you would, please.
Thank you, Chief. You know, I look around this room and I see these your fellow officers, and I think I've sworn in most, if not all of them. And from my perspective, you're joining a very fine police department. I'm sure you'll be a great addition. It's a bit that way, so people with cameras can take their pictures. They don't want me in it. Can you raise your right hand, please? Repeat after me. I, Ken Gennard, do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution.
That I will support the Constitution.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution and the laws of the State of Washington.
And the Constitution and the laws of the State of Washington.
And the ordinances of the City of Monroe.
And the ordinances of the City of Monroe.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
And I will faithfully discharge.
The duties of Deputy Chief.
The duties of Deputy Chief.
For the City of Monroe Police Department.
For the City of Monroe Police Department.
And that I will do so to the best of my abilities.
And that I will do so to the best of my abilities.
Congratulations.
I have Ken introduce his family and the like. I'd like to also express my appreciation for Chief Al Campan from the Edmonds Police Department for coming tonight. Al was on the oral board that made this selection of Chief Gennard here, and we really appreciate it. And thank you very much for coming. Kim, would you like to introduce your family? And
I would. I first of all would like to introduce my wife, Kim. You can come on up here. Well, the next two, you might get up here, you might not. My son, Cody, and my daughter, Caitlin.
And the next thing we would normally move to here is the pinning, hopefully pinning and not stabbing of the dead. This might take a while. No, that's not good stuff.
I'd just like to thank you all for being here. It's an honor and a pleasure to be able to work with this fine agency. I've had a couple of months now to get to know the officers, and under Chief Quincer's leadership, this is a very fine police department with wonderful officers who do a great job on a daily basis, and I look forward to serving the citizens of the Monroe community. Thank you.
We'll allow a couple seconds here if folks want to exit the chambers. If you've not had a chance to meet with Deputy Chief Gennard, I would invite you to reach out and spend a few moments with him. I think you'll be quite impressed with his professionalism and wisdom, and certainly he is a great addition to the department, which is a very good reflection of our chief, who chose to bring him on board. So congratulations, Chief, on that choice. Very good. Well, listen, this time here in the agenda is set aside for comments from citizens. And I'd like to invite members of the audience, if you should like, to speak to City Council on any issue except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Please ask that you limit your time to 5 minutes, and if you wait for the record, your name and address. I don't have anybody signed up. As always, I'd like to open up to the audience. If there's anyone who would like to direct comments to City Council at this time, you're certainly able to do so. If not, we will move on. Yes, sir?
Dan Williams, I live at 14920 165th Avenue, Southeast. Monroe, Washington, 98272. I just have a few issues to talk about tonight. On Wakebrook Park at the Lake Tai. So I don't know why we can't explore other options before the towers are built at Lake Tai and analyze and explore the Cammon location. I've asked that we can explore this option in depth before the towers will be built at Lake Tai and a final decision is made in this matter. That's all I ask on this subject. The mayor had a chance to unified this idea with the community on November 4th, 2011, in which he was absent at that meeting. Second issue, I am outraged by the mayor OP piece on the City of Monroe website, in which the article is now off the page, but there was a few weeks ago for every resident to read claiming that if Walmart doesn't come to town, Monroe, and the deal wasn't done by a certain time frame, that Diane Elliott's fault. And you will raise property taxes 1% for the next 30 years. I think that's wrong to outrage of your residents in your city who doesn't think or agree with your plans or idea for the city's future. Is this going to be a trend for this mayor of our city to write against people who don't agree with his policies? I think that would be a negative impact on our residents and businesses who don't agree with the mayor on every subject. Third issue, if I'm not mistaken, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, the mayor claimed that only one applicant for the ethics board position, they only had one applicant for the ethics board position within the city of Monroe. Well, let me tell you, the city council members, that's not true. And that statement the mayor made wasn't correct. I've applied for the library board vacant position, planning commission vacant position, and it applied in the parks position as well. I know that the spot is now Jeff Rasmussen, but I applied for that in the past. And there was an open spot on the ethics board at the time I put in for it. So because since I don't speak favorably of the mayor, Robert Zinnerman, my application for these positions have been lost in the shuffle, or the mayor has used his political influence not to even consider me in those vacancies. Is it because I'm not a close friend of the mayor, or is it something else? Or is it because I don't go to the same churches the mayor currently goes to? When I never know, because I don't. I don't know the real reason why I've been overlooked in this matter, but in my opinion, I do believe it's for the reasons I've just stated. Fourth issue, when is the city going to cut the Frylands grass at this moment? The grass is very high near the sidewalks on the street. As I drove yesterday around town to investigate this matter further, I noticed that the Frylands grass is the only grass that the city hasn't cut yet. I do find it funny that I live 5 minutes away from the mayor's residency and the city has cut their grass around the sidewalks. If the city wanted the residents to cut the sidewalks grass, they should have let us build our fences to the sidewalks. Sorry, that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to address council at this time? Okay. Thank you very much. We will then move on to business and action items. Final action, that is resolution notice of intent for Roosevelt Ridge annexation.
Mayor Council, you have for tonight a resolution that basically states your intent to annex and call for an election in the fall. I do have a couple images if we need them for any discussion, but this would be the I guess, the first formal step in putting us forth to take action on this. We would be back in July for a resolution calling for the election. In the meantime, we'll be notifying the state and the county and going through the boundary review board and so forth on that track toward the November election. I'd be happy to answer any questions or concerns about this. I have not had any contact with anyone since we last met or even before, so it's been some time.
Councilmember Gary?
Thank you. Well, I think it, at least based on what we've heard, it may not be successful. I certainly think we should put the question before them so we get an official answer. And to that end, I will make a motion to adopt resolution 2012-012, declaring the city's intent to annex by election Roosevelt Ridge area and calling for an election in November 2012.
Second.
All right, motion has been made by Councilmember Herring and seconded by Councilmember Cuddeback to adopt resolution 2012-012, declaring the city's intent to annex by election the Roosevelt Ridge area and calling for an election in November 2012. Councilmember Gamble.
I just have a quick question. So what is the cost to the city from here until election for us to run this on ballot?
Yes, yeah, it should not be. It's a general election.
I know there's a general election, but it, so there's...
Staff time, but no direct expense or outlay, out-of-pocket expense.
Publication of the public hearing notice.
Yes, the publications, and we will be sending a postcard to all the property owners as a part of this next step. So there'll be maybe very few hundred dollars in all of these mailings
to get an answer.
Okay, great. Councilmember Campbell.
Thank you. Just clarification, property owners or the property residents? You said residents are ones who can vote? Well, not the resident owners, correct?
Registered voters who live within the annexation area, who reside in the area, okay. Not property owners per se.
Before we take a vote on the motion, I'll have City Administrator Brazel read the legal definition of the resolution.
Resolution number 2012-012, resolution of the City Council of the City of Monroe, Washington, declaring the city's intent to annex an unincorporated area of Snohomish County, commonly known as the Roosevelt Ridge Annexation Area, describing the boundaries of such area, calling for an election to be held, submitting to the voters within such area the proposal for annexation, further submitting to said voters the proportion for the annexation area to assume its proportionate share of the city's indebtedness existing as of the effective date of the annexation and to be assessed and taxed at the same rate and upon the same basis as other property within the city, entering legislative findings and providing direction to staff.
Council, any other questions for staff or comments? Okay, seeing no lines here, no comments, we'll take a vote on the motion. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, let the record show that we'll now at 7:20 recess the meeting and reconvene in study session. Study session topic number one is presentation 6-year transportation improvement program for 2013-2018.
Thank you. This is our annual look at our transportation plan. We're required by state law to update this every year. The projects that are on the transportation plan have to be in the city's comprehensive plan. That's before you. This is our first look at this. You'll be coming back for a public hearing at the beginning of June, and then passage of the ordinance adopting this, which then goes off to the state. Pretty much most of the projects we've already talked about before. I also included a list of all the projects that were included in the 2007 transportation plan, so you can see how we're doing on that. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Councilmember Gary.
Thank you. Brian, having been involved in this a couple times, I know we kind of slated some of these in. You've got the times the years and the columns. Is there a time, is this the time you're looking for to potentially shift things around, or are you not? Are you not looking for that? I'm sure you'd like it just to stay the way that it is, because it's good. And I understand that as well. Number three for me has always been a why is that so high? But I think it's because it was cheaper than some of the other ones. But
The list is, I made it consistent with the priority list that was adopted by the council for the transportation benefit district, except for ones that might be a little higher because we actually have funding for them. So it looks like we're going to do next year Powell Street, and because we got a grant for that. So that's why it's sooner.
Indeed. Okay. Actually, that's a great clarification. This is the list. You used the one that we had that we did last week when we adopted that. That's great. Okay. Otherwise, everything is what we're used to. I'd love to see this trail sooner, but I think the reality is it is what it is. If we get funding from TBD, then maybe we can move that right up the list.
Also, by being on the list, it makes it more eligible for grant funding, because usually when you apply for a grant, that's the first thing they ask. So that's lower on the list because we don't have any money for it. But
indeed,
it's on the list. If a grant opportunity comes up, we can apply for that.
And I'm asked regularly about it, what the Monroe section might look like and where it might go. So I appreciate those clarifications. Thank you.
Councilmember Hamm.
Yes, thank you. At the beginning there, it talks about the time constraints. I'm just looking at dates here. Can you explain that? How this will work? I know that there's a couple of meetings. The last one in June will not be meeting, and then July 3rd will have a meeting. So the statutory adoption requirement for July 1st?
Yes, we're having the public hearing on June 5th, and then the adoption on June 12th. And so
it will be fine.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Councilmember Gannon.
Is the list all inclusive of all the identified projects?
No, it's inclusive of the projects that at this moment have some possibility of being done in the next 6 years. So there's more projects on attachment 2, which is all the projects that are in the comprehensive plan. They're not all on the 6-year list.
Actually, I apologize. I should have specified, Brad. That's the one I'm asking.
Okay.
On the attachment 2.
Attachment 2 is everything that was in the 2007 comprehensive transportation plan.
And what's the, excuse my hesitation, how does a plan, or how does it show up on the plan here? How does a street project end up?
Oh, during the 18-month process that the transportation plan was developed, basically we had modeling done, traffic studies, things like that, traffic counts, and they, spec it all in this big computer model and said in 2025 to have the number of trips that we expect to be driving on our streets not be in complete gridlock. These are the projects that need to be done. And we're actually looking to update that next year.
That's one process, because the street, Cleaner Street, was it?
Hill Street.
Hill Street. That was added.
Well, Hill Street.
That was a different process, right?
Hill Street was, yes, that was a different process, because basically that was done for doing the school and the water and sewer. So basically that's what drove that. It's replacing the sewer and water.
And I'm asking for it because I know that there's one street that I get asked about a lot because of where I live, and I know that council members up here that ran in previous elections have been asked about, and that's the Galaxy Way extension for the terrain, the Trombley Hill, basically, and Rainier View Road, with the large amount of development that was done up there at one exit. And subsequently, when they had the fire at the end of the street, and it basically locked, everybody in there. So I didn't know if that had completely. I didn't see it at all.
No, it's not on there, because we have repeatedly asked the Washington State Department of Transportation who owns the property between one end road and the other, and they said there's no way in the world that will allow a road to go through there.
Any other
I think the last time we asked was last year with that. The same process, same question.
Because I was told it was a price.
No, because they won't do it. Because, it's probably related to price, because when they go put the bypass in, it'll cost more money because they won't be flat ground, there'll be a road there.
Okay. I thought maybe I'm just mistaken, but I thought they were, the developer was supposed to put
No, that's a different one. Oh, that's the FR7 road, which is on the north side of the Highway 2 bypass, which came out on Chain Lake Road just south of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Right.
Okay, that's the one you're talking about.
Well, no, I'm asking
both. Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah, that's the one.
I can't get the other one.
I'm texting town.
That's still on the list. That's, you know, attachment 2. I think it's the second one down from the top.
Second one down from the top.
It's in the top section where it's at completely funded projects.
Yes, to Chain Lake Road. Install second green. I don't see it.
Okay, attachment 2.
No. It is
East West Connector North.
Where's that?
Last one. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Connector.
There it is. East West Connector North.
Yeah, 6-1 inch down.
That's fully funded?
Well, it was at the time the comprehensive plan was written, because that was prior to economic catastrophe, and the developer was going to build that next year. So.
Okay, so it's not on that. So it's on the second attachment, but not.
Yeah, right, because
no longer on the priority.
It's not necessarily the priority. There's no funding source for it in the next 6 years.
He's under the second
attention.
AKA. So that's going to be moving on the list. Brad, is that one that can be added to the TBD list, or is it too late for the TBD list?
It's not too, well, it's too late for the TBD list without having another public hearing to readopt an ordinance establishing that.
Yeah, that one slipped by. So how would we go about getting that as a focus? We can have another public hearing, as you said.
Well, it depends on what you want to do. If you want to put it on the TBD, or just put it on the TIP.
Oh.
You can put it on the TIP tonight by saying, we'd like it on the TIP.
I'd like to put it on the APPROV.
So, yeah,
that'd be good. I mean, it seems like it's been kind of forgotten what it looks like to me. So, anyway, we could get some sort of focus on it where it's in a, you know, plan, or at least, you know, on there. Because the residents in that area are operating under the assumption that there's a second road going in, but now it appears that you don't have funding, and there's really no plan. And there's just a road that goes into a barricade. So,
It is very important. It is an important question for council to consider. As Councilmember Gearing brought up, the 179th and 147th signal has been talked about for a number of years, and it's right at the hospital, correct?
Correct.
Yes. Right at the hospital. So, you know, is that weighted more than the second egress and ingress out of the area there north of the Highway 2? That's a decision for you to consider. And at this time, you can certainly make recommendations to staff to change that priority, to change that to.
I guess what I'm saying, I'm just like to get the first step of getting it on the radar. But right now, it's not on the radar. I need to talk about prioritization. But it just looks like to me that it's in the wrong status list, because it's not funded anymore.
Councilman Gimel, you for it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you had made the comment before that there definitely has been a plan for that. And in the past, we wanted the talk was having any of the developers that were going to be. I feel like there were these big development plans up there, right? And when they did that, we were going to require them to pay for that. And that's kind of where that ended up. And then I believe that guy actually went out of business or something. That all fell through. I thought I heard maybe say there was definitely a plan, but it certainly has fallen off.
That's what I'm saying, though, Kurt, is that I get that, right? But now that's failed, and now we don't have a plan, and there's
no funding source.
Yeah, we said it needs a second road, and it's
absolutely there. Couldn't agree more with it. Yeah. Absolutely, it needs.
So anyway, that's all.
We don't need a motion or anything. Council can come to a consensus as to what they want. So certainly, you can say, "I'd like to have that on that first spot, number 10.
Like we can consider, right? The transportation improvement plan, right? That's what he's saying.
Yes.
You want to make that recommendation?
Yeah, I would definitely like to make that recommendation. Mm-hmm. Whether it's item 14 or item 1, but somewhere on the list. Very good, and hopefully we'll have some more comments with regards to that subject, and we can gain support to put that up there. Councilmember Cutter.
Thank you. I concur with that. When I was out campaigning, when I ran, a lot of people had that concern with that connection and not having, you know, an additional way out besides chain link and then further west. So I think that's smart to move it over where it has more focus and possible chance of getting funded. So I agree with that. Brad, I had some questions just about the process. So the transportation plan was 2007 to 2012. That's the current plan that we have now, correct?
The transportation improvement program.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So that's the current one. And you were saying that we're going to do another six-year plan next year.
No.
No.
Next year we're hoping to do a comprehensive transportation plan.
Okay.
The thing that was done in 2007.
Okay. Well, that's what...
That's... Okay. There's TIPs and comprehensive transportation plan.
Okay. And that's where I want to understand the difference. Because I thought the plan from 2007 to 12 was a comprehensive transportation plan. No?
Actually, it was more than 6 years. It was basically the comprehensive transportation plan. Inside of it, there was a six-year TIP.
Okay.
So.
Okay. And so what we're looking at tonight to hold a public hearing in June is just kind of looking at the improvement plan for currently.
For 13 through 18, based on the comprehensive transportation plan.
Okay. So bear with me.
Okay.
Just bear with me.
And next year, we're hoping to have funding to redo the comprehensive transportation plan.
Okay.
To bring it up to date.
Okay.
Since things have changed since 2007, and that was done.
So to do this improvement program, we don't need to look at kind of traffic studies and level of service of intersections and all of that for this.
No, this is implementing the 2007 comprehensive transportation plan, which looked at the traffic studies and things like that. So you're just basically implementing what was done in 2007.
Okay.
And if you want to,
so when we look at the comprehensive plan, we will look at those studies again and look at
and
level of service and
to get funded next year. Yes.
Okay.
Would you yield for?
Yeah, definitely.
But the exception is the ones. Is there any other exceptions besides the one we've already identified that weren't a part of the 2007 that's in here?
No, except for the ones at the bottom with the X's on them.
Okay.
Which are based on other plans.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally understand. So the only exception would be the Hill Street.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
So if I can go off that comment then. So to put
that Hill Street. Can I
that
Hill Street? I live on a different Hill Street. I was on a project we just finished.
Okay.
Not
yeah.
the future one. The
right.
future one is actually based on being a replacement for
Kelsey
improvements. If you notice, it says Blueberry Kelsey.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, so it's just a modifying.
Yeah, modifying that.
Right. Right there and do it here.
Got it.
So.
Okay, so to modify that, having this public hearing next month is enough to modify that, even though the Hill Street wasn't considered in the comprehensive.
Yeah, at this level, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because still dealing with the same traffic
right.
pattern area. Makes sense to me. Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks, Brad.
But the real important step in this entire process is really having the reviews, transportation studies done, hopefully, as you said, next year, mm-hmm. which will give us a much better, updated data
so that council can then make their recommendations for the new transportation comprehensive plan. Comprehensive
transportation plan,
So,
we found from other projects is the amount of traffic that was projected to be on Highway 2 is much more than they decided back in 2007 because of the economy and things. So that may change some of the projects that are on here, and we may not need to signal it 154th and 179th, just picking one at random. You know, so hopefully next year we'll be able to do those studies that will say that, you know, what's really needed is this project or that project.
Well, if I can still make
comments.
Thank you. So I guess that was what I was trying to figure out is it sounds like the information from those studies would help us make a better determination of order and priority, and we're looking at that now. And to me, it seems a little... Well, we're making decisions a little bit blind right here based on old information.
You're required by state law to do that. Every year we have to do this.
Well, every year we have to look at it. We don't necessarily have to make changes, correct?
Well, yeah, because you have to do it for 2013 to 2018 as opposed to 12 to 17. So you have to do that.
Right, I get that. Yeah. You have to do that. Right. But, okay. I can talk to you about it out of council so I don't tie everybody up.
Brad, you mentioned this, the desire for a study next year. If I remember right, I was here when the last one was done, and that was not inexpensive.
$188,000.
$200,000. Yeah. So you do like that $14.99.
And it also took 18 months. And we had the, if you recall, we had the Transportation Commission, you know, citizen group to help with that too.
Would we look at the same process for next year?
Depending on when we look through the, this is all kind of aiming towards the 2015 comprehensive plan update and, you know, what needs to be changed, you know, how much. And so in that process, we will look and see if that's, it's an interesting or necessary component
process.
And then, you know, some of the council ultimately decide what the, how they want to go about it.
Okay. Hey, Councilmember Hanford.
I just wanted to concur with Councilmember Gamble's request and Councilmember Kovacs concurring as well.
So you're concurring with concurring?
Exactly. Concurring is good.
All right. Thank you, Councilmember Gamble. Do we, Brad, do we budget for that study? If we do that, how often does that happen? Is it how many years?
As often as you want to, but it has to be done every, well, this time it's every 8 years we have to update the entire comprehensive plan.
Okay, so do we budget for that study? Are we saving on a yearly basis for that $200,000 cost? No, the Finance Committee, though, is considering this in part of their Finance Committee discussion.
Sir, Councilman Williams.
All right. We I know that the Finance Committee has been looking at reserves and looking at where are the funds? Diane, help me out there with the funds. And so certainly this is something that we may want to raise as part of your consideration.
Yeah.
When you bring recommendations back to council.
Yeah. I recommend we send that to that committee.
Well, very good. Okay, so it appears that we have at least no objections to moving the northeast-west connector, we'll call it. I can't remember.
East-west-north.
East-west-north. Place that on the priority list, number 14 at least for the moment. It might change it after the next public hearing. But Rick, understand that truly what's needed here is a comprehensive transportation plan, and we'll look to the Finance Committee for some consideration and direction for that as part of our budgeting process for the next 2 years. Any other questions, comments for Brad? All right, very good. Council, and we'll bring that back June 7th, you said? July 7th?
No, June 5th.
June 5th. specifics you'd like to share tonight?
Yeah. A while back, the Wild Horse and Lynx Creek Owners Association had filed a lawsuit regarding a foreclosure, and because previously the city had filed a lien on that property because of delinquent utility bills, we were also named in the lawsuit. And due to efforts of our city attorney, we have been extricated from the lawsuit. The city is now permanently removed from this court action. So just a little FYI, just so you know, we were originally named it, and now we are completely out of it. So that's good news. That's all I have.
All right. That's good news. Thank you. Mr. Sachs, anything to report this evening?
Just a status update on the purchase and sale agreement with Nix Corp. On Tuesday, we hit our 90-day first acceptance period, and Nix Corp opted to move forward, so they transferred $75,000 in non-refundable earnest money to escrow, and they are taking the next step forward in their design process. So that's good news for the city and good news for Nix Corp. Next Tuesday night, we'll be having a presentation from the H3O Cable Park Group, and they'll be coming in. They've done their architectural work, most of their design work, and they will be doing a presentation just to bring you all up to speed as to what, if you choose to move forward with the lease agreement, what their project is going to look like. I think you'll be impressed with a lot of the way they have modeled the project. It actually has turned out to be much smaller of a footprint on the lake, so look forward to that. Tentatively are scheduled to bring the lease agreement forward for council action on the 5th of June. So that's just kind of a forward look as far as H3O goes. That's, I guess, the report for now.
Thank you. Ben, anything further? Paul, anything further this evening?
Nothing new.
Anything
just to bring your attention to all the projects we have going this summer and spring that we're getting underway, and if you like ongoing updates, they're available at agorawa.gov/projects.
The wastewater treatment plant, there's a nice little report in your packet. John or Jake here now, take a moment to read through that. Some great shots. And if you still haven't had a chance to visit, take a tour of the site, recommend that you do. Moving along very nicely with regards to that project. And then,
of course,
yes, sir. Councilmember Gamble.
In reading the report, though, it's the first time I've read it. There was some concern with Stellar J that we're running 2 months behind. And not being executed per the contract.
It's administrative resume.
I'm going to defer that to Brad, but there is concerns. So.
There is concerns, but actually, John thinks they'll be done. John Mandy, wastewater treatment plant manager, project manager, thinks actually they'll be done early. So they just have difficulties working together between the consultant and the general contractor.
It's been a daily burden. I think John's getting greater by the day. Yeah. I mean, we're really fortunate to have him on the job, and then one of our field inspectors as well, doing a bang up job, keeping tabs, keeping notes. Thankful for our staff to keep us on task or keep them on task.
Yeah, well, specifically the part that says later without explanation requirement of the contract. So do we have, you know, written in the contract what are our levers that we pull with? Stuff is not being met. Mm-hmm. We haven't had to pull in any of those yet.
No, there's lots of negotiations going on and, you know, things like that. But no, they're not to the level of kicking them off the site kind of thing. Okay. So
it was the first time I've seen a change in tone.
Yeah.
In the update. So
we've been keeping it to ourselves, trying to keep the positive note.
That's what I kind of thought, but I want to, you know, I guess all I would ask is that. It'll make us aware, or you know, maybe in the next update that we get, if it's along the same lines, we should at least be. I would like to know what are our options as far as, you know, if they are not meeting the contract obligations,
nice ways of reminding them, you know, here's the steps that we can take. That's all. City Administrator Brazel.
Thank you. Just want to remind the Finance and HR Committee that we do have a meeting next week. And looking at the agenda for May 15th, 2012, we have under announcements and presentations, we have a proclamation for the Public Works Week, May 20th through 26th, 2012. And we have a proclamation, 8th Annual Traditional Powwow, which is always a fun time. We have the consent agenda under, when we back up under public hearing, we have the second public hearing, moratorium on cannabis collective gardens. Under new business, we have ordinance amendment 2012 budget, first reading. And number two, tentative at this point, authorized mayor to sign senior center ground lease extension. I believe that will be done and ready to roll. Any additions or deletions?
Any time next week to meet with regards to the student initiative?
Sure, next week.
I noticed that this week was busy according to your message.
Sure.
Mayor.
All right.
Mayor.
Yes, sir.
I sent kind of the outline for that stuff to WCIA just to check on insurance coverage since that person would be up here. So we're kind of going back and forth. We should have some on the insurance coverage side, which I know was the city attorney's concern by the end of this week.
Great. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Council, anything else for this evening? Councilmember Gamble. Well, I had a great vacation.
Great.
I did listen to the minutes and think, yes, I was standing in line at Universal right about that time. but I did take the time. I will look forward to the presentation next week, Jeff. From the, on the Cable Park. I did take about an hour and visited the Orlando Sports Wakeboard Complex down there, viewed their facility, took pictures and videos and all that kind of stuff, and then just kind of hung out with the kids for about 20 minutes and just watched the thing work. It was very informative, educational from in many regards on how it works, all that, so I can understand when that stuff is being presented now. And then also got to see some demographics, which was, surprising to me, just age differences and genders, but it's all across the map. So anyway, I have all of that stuff, and I'll definitely make it available to anyone that wants it, the video of the location and all that kind of stuff.
Please.
Councilmember Hamm.
Yeah, I just wanted to report, was able to participate in the National Day of Prayer activities on Thursday with several people from the city, and just know that people in the city are praying for us for wisdom and all the decision making that we do. And I know if I can use a little prayer, I can get it. So just want to let you know that one really well.
Okay, Council, anything else for this evening?
We are adjourned.